Well, please turn with me this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. This morning we're going to look at a parable, a teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us to understand what it means to serve the Lord. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. We've been looking at this subject of the will of God and serving God. And in many ways, this parable is a parable about service. Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 28. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him," and that is the priests and the religious Jews, "they say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, Lord, we pray that you would lead us into truth. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit of God would fill us and teach us your word this morning. And Lord, we pray that as we sit under the sound of your word, dear God, we would desire to serve you with reverence and with godly fear. Father, help us, we pray, to examine our hearts in the light of your word. Lord, help us to see, Lord, that which you desire for us to see this morning. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here this morning that is yet to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour and to repent of their sins. Lord, I pray that this would be the day of their salvation. And Father, you are able to do the impossible. Lord, I pray that those of us who know Christ as Saviour, Lord, help us, we pray, to serve you with a willing heart. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, as we come to Matthew chapter number 21, we find a parable, a teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember, a parable is something that is cast alongside a spiritual truth. Basically, a parable is a made-up story that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches in order to help us to understand a spiritual lesson. And the importance of every parable in the Bible is to understand it in light of its context. You see, there's a reason that the Lord teaches a parable. And not every parable is taught for the same reason. It's not always addressed to unbelievers. Some of them were to his disciples. Some of them were to those seeking the Lord. Some of them were to those who did not want the Lord as a rebuke, such as the one that we are looking at this morning. And just a little background as we look at Matthew 21. By the time the Lord taught this parable, he had caused a great stir already in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that he entered Jerusalem triumphantly. We know that they shouted out, "Hosanna, the Son of David." And then when we get to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12, notice the Lord enters the temple the second time and starts turning over the tables. The Lord was cleansing the temple and the Lord was turning over tables, and the religious Jews were in an uproar. And in verse number 23, they basically said to the Lord, "Who do you think that you are? By what authority doest thou these things? How dare you enter the temple and tell anyone what to do?" And the Lord Jesus, instead of answering their question, telling them by what authority he has the right to do these things, he asks them another question. And isn't that true? Isn't that what the Lord oftentimes does? When someone asks him the question, he asks them a question in reply. Now, what is the question he asked them? Well, notice verse 25 in Hebrews chapter 21. Excuse me, Matthew 21. Verse 25, he says this. The baptism of John, whence was it? Was it from heaven or was it of men? Now, you see, these religious Jews had heard the preaching of John. They had seen John baptizing. They knew of his ministry. And if the Pharisees admitted that John's preaching was from God, then they would have to believe the message he was preaching. Would you agree? And what message was he preaching? He was saying, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn from your sins and put your faith in the Messiah who is he. So he asked them, what do you think about the preaching of John? Is it from God or is it of men? Now, they didn't want to admit that it was from God, because if it was, then they would need to repent. And they didn't want to. But if they admitted it was from men, they feared what other people would think, because the multitudes believed that John was a man sent from God. And so they feared what others would think. And so when they got stuck and they didn't want to admit the truth, what did they say? Notice verse number 27. Verse 27. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. When they were stuck and they didn't want to admit the truth, what did they do? They lied. They lied. We cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But instead, the Lord doesn't stop there. He goes on to give these religious Jews a parable. And this is no ordinary parable. This is what I would call a parable with a sting. This is a parable given to rebuke these religious leaders. You see, these Pharisees thought that they had the authority to serve God. They thought they had the right to serve the Lord, and God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, had no right to do what he pleased in the temple. And this morning we're going to look simply at the contrast of two different sons. As we've already read this morning, one son was called of the Lord and didn't want to go and serve him. But in the end, he went and served his master, his father, in the vineyard. Now, the other son was called also and said, yes, I will go. Yes, sir, I will go. But he went not. Notice, one of them did the will of the father, but the other one didn't. One of them served the living God, but the other one, though he said he would, did not. What was the reason? And what is the difference between these two? Well, this morning we're going to look at the parable of the two sons, and we're going to find out some lessons that would help you and I to serve God and perhaps challenge you and I in an area that we need to be challenged in. Notice the first lesson we learn is by looking at the difference between these two sons. Well, what was the difference? One of them went, the other did not. What was the reason behind that? What does the Bible teach us in verse 29? And it's a word starting with the letter R. Can you see it this morning? Verse number 29, but afterward he repented. You see, this son didn't want to serve God, didn't want to serve the Father. And of course, the Father pictures God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in these verses. He didn't want to go, but then he repented and he went. Is that correct? But the next son, though he gave lip service and said, oh, yes, I will go, in the end, he did not go. Why? Because the difference between the two sons was this important single issue. And if you miss anything in the message, don't miss this. It's this issue of repentance. You see, repentance makes all the difference in our service for God. Why? Because one son did not serve God. One son did serve God. The difference was repentance. This son, which represented the religious Jews, did not want to repent. Therefore, they could not and had no authority to do the will of the Father. You see, the religious Jews thought, well, because they went to the temple, because they prayed in public, because they gave their tithes, because they dressed well, because they said that they were from God, because they said that they kept the Ten Commandments, they were religious, they thought they were going to heaven because of all these things. They thought that they had the authority to serve God. But the Lord Jesus was teaching this parable to teach them, no, you have no authority. In fact, you have not repented of your sin. And the fact is, the other son in this parable went to serve God because he had repented. Can you see that this morning? He had repented. The religious Jews were too proud to admit that John's message is true and that it is for them as well. They were too proud. They were too lifted up in their own eyes to admit that they needed salvation, that they needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse 31, "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." You see, there were many others that came to John the Baptist at the River Jordan. Isn't that true? Among them were the publicans. Now, these were Jewish tax collectors working for the Roman government. And their job was to get as much tax out of the Jews as possible. And many of them did that, but they did that deceitfully. They lifted the taxes. They raised the tax level. They forced the Jews to give more than they should have given. So therefore, they were hated, and rightly so. Now, the harlot is an unclean woman. It is a woman who lives in immorality. It is a woman who is seen as a immoral woman, a filthy woman, a prostitute. Now, these were those who also heard the preaching of John. Now, notice what the Lord Jesus said. He said to the religious Jews, he said, "These ones go into the kingdom of God before you." Why? Because there was one difference. These were ones that knew that they were sinners and that they were willing to repent of their sins. You see, the question is not which son is a better person. No, the question is which son has repented. You see, the publicans and sinners, though the Lord Jesus didn't justify their actions, he said to them that these ones are the ones who have admitted that they're sinners in need of repentance and salvation. And therefore they can receive eternal life. And they can serve the living God above the religious crowd who think that they do not need to repent of their sins. Well, what's the first lesson we learned this morning? Repentance leads to salvation. Repentance leads to salvation. The Lord Jesus said this, "I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." John the Baptist said, "Repent and be baptized. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The Lord Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish." You see, repentance leads to salvation. Well, what is repentance? That's a good question. Repentance is simply a change of heart. And it comes when you and I realize that we are sinners before a holy God. When we hear the word of God and we understand that God is holy and we have offended him, we have broken his laws and we have sinned against the holiness of God. It's repentance that comes and brings us to sorrow over our sins. But be careful. It is possible to sorrow over your sins in another way. You see, repentance is not you and I feeling bad about what our sins have done to us. It's not you and I feeling sorry for what others have done to us. You see, we need to be careful how we come to God. There are many that are seeking help, even in the local church this morning, because their lives are not what they want them to be. Maybe they've made some decisions that have not turned out. Maybe some others have hurt them, and they're coming to the Lord and saying, yes, I need Jesus Christ as Savior because I need help in my life. I need my life to be better, and I need the Lord to save me from my problems. But friends, that is not why the Lord Jesus Christ came. Christ said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've come to bring sinners to repentance. You see, repentance isn't you and I feeling sorry for ourselves and fearing what might happen to us. No, repentance is described as godly sorrow. That means you and I, brokenhearted about what our sins have done to the heart of God. Let me say that again. It is you and I, when we get to the point and we realize that not only are we guilty sinners, yes, but we realize what our sins have done to the heart of God. That we have offended God. That we have broken the heart of God. And in spite of our wretchedness, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me ask you this morning. Has there been a time in your life that you repented of your sins? Now, it's not a difficult thing to do, but it's a choice that you and I must make in order to be saved. You see, Jesus Christ is not just the next crutch in the world of pop psychology. You know, you can find a dozen and more books on the shelf in your local bookstore or library about how you can become a better you. How you can become a better person. How you can be more successful. How you can feel better about yourself. Friends, that is not why Jesus Christ died on the cross. You see, these Jews were religious. They said the right things. They looked the right way. They were in the temple, the house of God. They believed that they were serving God. But they did not believe they needed to repent of their sins. They did not see their sins in the light of God's holiness. They didn't believe that they were bad enough to go to the lake of fire. They did not believe that they had broken the heart of God. You see, it's possible to miss salvation by being religious. You see, there are two groups of people in this world. There are those who are religious, and then there are those who have repented and have salvation in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. There are those who are religious and those who have repented and have faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not a harlot. I'm not a thief. I've never stolen from anyone before. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I know I've done some wrong things. I know I've sinned. But look, I'm not that bad. I've never murdered anyone. I've never committed adultery. Maybe you're here this morning and you might think that you don't need to repent. Friends, we all need to repent of our sins and be saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you might say, well, I've prayed a prayer. You know, the second son said the right things, didn't he? He said, oh, yes, I will go, sir. I will serve you. Yes, I'm a servant of God. I'm a Christian. In other words, yes, I will serve you. Yes, I want to. But he didn't go. Why? Because he never repented. There was no change in his life. There was no change in his heart. There was no brokenness over sin. And you see, this is a parable with a sting to the religious Jews. And the Lord was saying, don't you dare ask me what authority I have. Let me tell you why you have no authority to serve me and why you're not serving me. Why you're only serving yourself for your own selfish purposes is because you have never repented. And the harlots and the publicans go into the kingdom of God before you. And friend, for those of us who are Christians this morning, we need to ask the question, are we serving the Lord? Is there a desire in our heart to serve God? You see, whether we're serving God or not is a good test of our salvation. Are we really saved? Repentance leads to salvation, and salvation leads to service. That's just a simple fact in the Christian life. Do we have a desire to serve God? We may not be doing much about it yet, but there's a desire, there's a want to, there's a hunger, there's a desire in our hearts to serve God. But friend, if that's not there, maybe it's because it's never been put there. And by the way, it doesn't matter what we say. Would you agree the second son said, oh yes, he put his hand up. He said, I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do, O Lord. We can be just as religious as the next lost person and think that we're saved. But the problem is, we've never repented. We've never come to God sorrowing over what our sins have done to God. So you can just pray a prayer and ask the Lord to save you, because you don't want to go to hell. But friends, that's not salvation. What about the sorrow? What about the brokenness? What about the willingness to turn from sin and not even to sin again? I remember the day that I was saved, I never wanted to sin again. Now that was just my desire. Of course I'm still a sinner, saved by grace, but I never wanted to sin again. That's what happened in my heart. I hated sin because it hurt the heart of God. I hated sin because it was against God. And friend, if you are just lapping it up in a life of sin and nothing has changed in your life and you're not serving God and the only evidence of your Christianity is that you say I'm a Christian, it may well be that you are the second son. The son who did not go and serve the Lord because he never repented. Friends, there are many religious people that will be shocked on the day of judgment, because they never saw themselves in the eyes of God. They never were humble enough to admit that I need a Saviour. I need to be saved. Friends, it's not complicated. The gospel message is simple. But we complicate it when we say to ourselves, maybe I should just become a Christian because it's better than the alternative of going to hell. Of course, hey, everyone wants to go to heaven, do they not? No one wants to go to hell. But not everyone wants to be with God in heaven. Not everyone wants Jesus to be their Savior for their life. Not everyone wants Jesus as their Lord for life. There's a difference. There's a difference between a ticket to heaven and having a living relationship with Jesus Christ. One involves repentance, the other is just simply religious. Now, if you're a little bit uncomfortable this morning, friends, that is a good thing. The worst thing that can happen to you or I is that we stay comfortable and slip into eternity and realize too late that we had never been saved. If you're a little bit uncomfortable this morning, let me encourage you to allow God to deal with your heart. Friends, the repentance is the natural state of the heart when one sees the greatness of sin and the grace of God and desires to be saved from sin. Desires Jesus Christ as Savior. See, the religious Jews didn't desire any of that. They just wanted by their own efforts to live life as they pleased. A religious life, yes, giving lip service to God. But they did not know the Lord. Friend, are you religious? Or do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Amen. Where is your heart this morning? And let me say this, likewise, the drug dealer on the streets of Cairns that repents of his sins and puts his faith in Jesus Christ will go to heaven. Amen. Before you, if you refuse to humble yourself as a sinner. The prostitute on the streets of Cairns, if she humbles herself and repents of her sins, she'll go into heaven before you. The murderer, the thief, the liar, what's the point? Friends, we are all sinners in the sight of a holy God. If we think we are better than anyone else, we are self-righteous. We are lost. Friend, have you repented? Have you repented of your sins? You might say, well, Pastor, I don't know if my repentance was a perfect repentance. Now, don't let me confuse you. There is no such thing as a perfect repentance.
The question is, were you sorry in your heart over what your sins have done to God? Or were you just sorry about what your life has come to because of your sins? Were you just sorry about the mess that you're in and you needed Jesus because you wanted him to give you happiness and wealth and health, salvation from your troubles? Or did you come to Jesus because you needed a saviour from sin? That's the difference. And repentance leads to salvation. That was the difference between these two. All right, let's quickly go on. Repentance leads to salvation. Notice next, salvation leads to service. True salvation leads, sooner or later, to service. Notice verse number 28. The Lord said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." Now, at first, the first son didn't want to, but then he repented and then he went. Now, the second son said, "I'll go," but what happened? He didn't go. What does that mean? He didn't go serve the Lord. He didn't serve according to the will of the Father. Would you agree? And that was the religious crowd. Yes, they were doing something for God, and yes, they were doing it in the name of God, and yes, they were respected by the public, and yes, they were revered as having authority, but they were not serving the Lord. And yet the other son went and did the will of the Father. You see, the religious Jews just wanted to be seen by others. They just wanted to be seen by the public as spiritual. They wanted to be heard by others as they prayed. The Lord rebuked them for praying loud, booming, loud voices of public prayer. Why? To be heard of others. Because they were proud of themselves. They were self-righteous. They said the right things. They said, "Oh, yes, I believe in God. Oh, yes, I will go." But in the end, what was the result? They went not. That's the parable. That's the teaching. They would not do the will of God. They simply served their own selves. They were not serving the Lord. They were religious. They were self-serving. But notice the difference. Now look up here this morning. Don't get distracted. When the first son repented, what happened? There was a change, would you agree? In these two little words, we see the change. But afterward, he repented, verse 29, state together, and went. He went. Now, we don't know what he did. We don't know how much he did. But there was a change, would you agree? There was a going. There was a serving. There was a willingness. There was a want to. There was a desire that was backed up by actions. Amen? But here there was just words, empty words, appearances, but no action, no will of God, no service for the Lord. You see, salvation leads to, repentance leads to salvation, and salvation leads to service. And the question of whether we want to serve God or not is a good test of our salvation. Christian, do you want to serve God? Do you have a desire to tell others about Jesus Christ? Now, that's a good question. You see, the Lord Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Let me ask you this morning. If you believe that you are truly saved, when was the last time that you told someone, as best as you can, how Jesus Christ saved you? When was the last time? Now, it may not have been recently, but you may remember a time and times that when you were saved, you wanted to tell someone else. You wanted to tell how Jesus saved you. We were just looking at it the other day with our children. You see, when Andrew found the Lord, guess what he did? He ran to find his brother, Simon, whose name was changed to Peter. And guess what? They went to tell someone else. And that's how the gospel spreads. Those who are saved have something to tell. But those who are not saved, even though they might desire to tell others about Jesus, have nothing to tell. cannot serve the living God and be a witness. Why? Because they've never repented and been saved themselves. You see, salvation leads to service. As we speak about this subject of serving God, as we speak about serving God in His will, we need to be ever careful to make sure that we have even the authority to serve God. If we are truly born again and saved, then we will have a desire to serve Him. And we will have God's authority to serve the Lord. Would you agree? But if we are lost, we have no right. We have no authority. We have no desire. And that will never be backed up by action. In fact, there will be an absence of action. There will be a gap and a hole and a missing piece. And that missing piece is salvation. Look with me in the book of James, chapter number 2. James, chapter number 2. Thank you for turning there. We'll be back to the book of Matthew shortly. Timothy, Titus, Hebrews, James. James, chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. Let's read this verse aloud together, shall we? James chapter 2, verse 14. On to. 1, 2. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? So here is the example of lip service in verse 14. And James says in the book of James, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith? Here is someone that says that they have faith in God, that they have faith in Jesus Christ, but have not works. There are no works to back up that faith. Can faith save him? Now, understand what James is saying. The subject here is the issue of salvation and works as the evidence of salvation. Now, no one can be saved and forgiven by doing good works. We know that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what is James saying? He's saying, if we claim to have faith in Christ, but there has been no change in our life that has led to serving God, works, then can that kind of faith save someone? That's what he's saying. Can that kind of faith that is void of any change, any desire, any work for God, be the evidence of saving faith? And the answer is no. A saving faith that does not result in works is no salvation at all. It is a false faith. It is a pretend faith. That is what the religious Jews had. They were pretenders. They were hypocrites. They were one way in the temple when they went there, and they were another way at home when they went home. They were giving lip service to God, but they were opposing His work by the way that they lived. They were hypocrites. They weren't willing to repent. They were religious. Friends, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, those words are become are important. It means become new and becoming. Now, don't let me confuse you this morning. When we are saved, that's the beginning of the process of change. And it's a lifelong process. Would you agree? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm not saying you need to be perfectly sinless to get to heaven. No, salvation in Christ, by repentance and faith in Him alone, we obtain the forgiveness of sins and we can serve the Lord. But true salvation will always result in service. Will always result in service. Sooner or later, there will be a desire springing up in your heart to serve God. And if you're not serving God, well, He will deal with you as a son. Is that right? He will chasten you as His child. He will say, how come you're not serving me? And it will be beyond the guilt. It will be a Holy Spirit-filled conviction to get things together and serve the living God. that will ultimately bring you to where the first son led him. Ultimately, it will lead you to going to tell someone about your testimony and tell them they need to be saved. Ultimately, it will lead a young people to understanding that now that you're saved, God wants you to obey your mum and dad. Look, if you're just a rebel in the home, just as much as you were when you think you got saved, friend, that is no salvation at all. You see, faith without works is dead, the Bible says. If there's no evidence of a change, then our faith is dead. That's not a saving faith. If we don't want to read the Word of God, and if we do not fear the Lord, well, then that wasn't saving faith. We'd never repented of our sins. There's an absence. There's something missing, and it's salvation in Jesus Christ. You see, salvation leads to service. Now, every Christian grows at a different rate. Every Christian who is saved is on a journey, and there are stumbling blocks. There are times that we fall, but Christ will always work in a true Christian's life to bring them back to himself. If he's not doing that in your life, then you are not his child. If you are as happy as you can be in your sin, and the only fear that you have is getting caught by someone else, then there's a problem. There is no fear of God. Because there has been no repentance and salvation. What a fearful day we live in that has taken the gospel and made it something else. So that you could come to church and think, hey, I think I'm all right because I prayed a prayer. Everyone can pray a prayer. The religious Jews prayed publicly and they prayed daily. What they were saying, there was nothing wrong with it. They were heard. They were approved of by everyone around them. But the Lord did not approve of them because they were not willing to repent. There will be a change. There will be a witness within that will come without. You know, I remember when I was at uni in Canberra, my parents started to go to a church and I started to go with them. And I went every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning I was there. And if I didn't go, guess what? I felt guilty about it. I did. I wasn't a Christian. I was as lost as could be, but I was religious. And when I didn't go to church, I felt guilty, and the next Sunday I went. But an interesting thing that I remember, and I look back, when there was something else on, well, then I'd skip church. If there was something more important to me, or I had something else on, well, going to church wasn't that important. Because I never repented of my sins. Christ was not my Saviour. I had no relationship with him. I was simply religious. So therefore, I just did what pleased me. My parents wanted me to be in church. And they gave me a bit of a guilt trip if I didn't go. James, are you coming? Wake up. It's time to go to church. Friends, that's not the evidence of salvation. There'll be a want to. There'll be a desire. There'll be a hunger for God. Amen. There'll be a difference. There'll be a change. Now, it's not wrong, parents, for you to encourage your children to be in church. But children understand that there needs to be a living relationship with Jesus Christ. That begins when you repent and you put your faith in him as Savior. And I remember when I was going to uni, I didn't tell anyone about Jesus Christ. Why? Because I had nothing to tell. All the best that I could do was to say to someone, hey, you want to come to church? Why don't you come too? We can be there together. That's all I had to offer. Why couldn't I tell anyone? Why couldn't I be a witness unto the Lord? Because I had no witness within myself. But I thank God for the day that someone invited me to a church like this. I was working in Sydney. I came to a church like this and I wasn't challenged to serve God. I was challenged to get saved. I was challenged that I was a sinner. And as religious as I thought that I was and how I thought that I was going to heaven, all that came crumbling down in a heap when I realized I was in fact not a child of God. I was headed to the lake of fire, but that was the best thing for me to finally admit to. Because on the 7th of May 2005, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I said to the Lord, please forgive me for sinning against you. I couldn't even name every sin because I couldn't remember them. None of us can. But I said to the Lord, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Lord, I am a sinner, and Lord, I know that you paid for my sins. And Lord, I ask you to save me today, once and for all.
Amen.
And then I said this, and maybe you said it too, when you got saved. Lord, help me to live for you. I still remember those words. That's what was in my heart. Why? Because I repented. I didn't want to live for sin anymore. I didn't want to live my own way anymore. And though I'm not perfect today, I know that salvation has taken place because I have a desire to serve the living God. You see, salvation leads to service. The first son went because he repented. The second son did not go, no matter how good he sounded, because he never repented. He was not a child of God. Religious, hypocrite, looked good on the outside, but empty within. Friend, where are you this morning? Where are you? We have been saved to serve. And service is the natural response of the genuinely saved. Now, don't be distracted this morning. You see, the religious Jews did not want to repent. And if God has shown you this morning that what is missing in your life is Jesus Christ, the Savior, then, friend, don't get distracted. You know, it's possible to suppress that year after year and say, no, I think I'm okay. No, I don't want to talk about my assurance of salvation. No, I don't want to address this issue. I'm okay. It's all right. As soon as I get out of these doors, I'll feel better. I know that because I won't have to listen to this anymore. I'll just keep pushing it down until I go out these doors, and then that feeling will go away. Once I switch on the TV, once I get with my worldly friends, once I get out of this place, I'll feel better. So I'm not going to think about my salvation. Friend, if you do that, there'll be a time where it'll be too late. God will not knock on the door of your heart forever. If you need to be saved today, let me encourage you to respond. Put your hand up during the invitation. Make sure you receive Christ as Savior. Repentance leads to salvation. Salvation leads to service.
Amen.
And then lastly, service leads to surrender.
Amen.
Service leads to surrender. Come with me to the book of Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Notice verse number 28. Where did the father tell this son to go? Go to work today in, what are the next two words?
My vineyard.
My vineyard. Notice it wasn't in any vineyard. It wasn't in any yard. It was a specific place for a specific purpose. Now, if you are a saved Christian this morning, you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let me encourage you this morning that God has a job for us to do.
Amen.
And it's not just to work in any yard. He has called us to work in His vineyard. Is that right?
Amen.
In my vineyard, that's what the Lord said, did He not? In my vineyard. You see, there are many that are saying that they are Christians this morning, but they're not working in the Lord's vineyard. They're not serving the Lord. They're not doing the will of the Father. They are serving themselves because they've never been saved. And those of us as Christians, we need to be careful to make sure that we serve the Lord according to His calling upon our lives. You see, He has a vineyard, a place for us to serve. He has a purpose for us to serve, which is to preach the gospel. We are to sow the seed of the word of God. God will do the miracle, but we are to sow the seed. We are to water what has been sown. How? By more of the word of God. Amen. More of the gospel, more witnessing, more serving. We are to serve in His vineyard. What a privilege it is to be part of God's great work. And part of the vineyard of God is the local New Testament church. Let me encourage you, if you are a Christian, this is the place of service. This is the work assembly, if you will. This is the meeting place that takes place before the week of work starts. Amen. So God gathers His people together and says, all right, let's remember why we're here. Let's remember what we're doing, and let's go into the world and do the job God has called us to do. All right, let's go to work. And off we go into the week. God is very practical, isn't he?
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. And the church is a place where we serve, where we discover our spiritual gifts as Christians, where we learn to trust God more. It's a place where Christians are sent out from to be missionaries in the regions of the world. It's a place where we serve missionaries from. But this is his vineyard work, amen. He has a job for us to do. And it's in his vineyard. Friends, let me ask you this morning, Christian, whose vineyard are you working in? Is it God's or is it someone else's? You see, the work yard can take you away from God. You can say amen.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. The work yard can take you away from God. To have a job is not sinful. In fact, the Bible tells us if a man refused to work, then he doesn't deserve to eat. No, we need to work, but are you living for that job? Is that what you live for? Or are you in that workplace being a witness for Jesus Christ? So you see, your work yard can take you away from the vineyard. And how about your backyard? Amen? I don't know about you, my grass is pretty dry at this time of year. And I'm thankful for it. Because you can ask my wife and she will tell you that there are times of the year that you'll come over and you'll see pastor's grass is pretty long. And I'm not proud of it, but it's just the reality that there are some more important things in the world than keeping our lawn looking perfect. Amen? There are some more important things in this world than spending our whole weekend in the garden.
Amen.
Because guess what? Those weeds are going to grow back. Guess what? That grass is going to grow back. Guess what? What your neighbors think about how long your lawn is compared to theirs is not the priority. The priority is telling others about the gospel.
Amen.
And if we are serving the Lord, then there are some other things that are not as important. But the backyard can consume your time. When God wants you to be in the vineyard, serving him, telling others about Jesus Christ. If our service to God doesn't involve other people, but it involves grass, well, there's something wrong.
Amen.
Amen? The Lord will take care of the weeds when he comes to reign for 1,000 years. And the curse of sin is turned around. And do your best, of course. Okay, you don't want to look like the greatest hobo on the street. But there is a balance. Christian, are you in the vineyard of God? Or are you just serving to please yourself? What about all the other yards that we waste our time in? Entertainment. Sport. Hanging around with people we shouldn't be hanging around with. Distractions. Some of them may not even be sinful, but it's definitely not the vineyard that God has called us to work in. Friends, our lives need to revolve around God's plan. If we have repented, he's called us to go work, and we need to go. We need to get busy. We need to work. Why? Notice what he says as we close in verse number 28. When did the Lord want, or the Father want this son to go?
Today.
When? Today. Go today. Not tomorrow. Not when you're 20. Young adults, not when you're 50. Not when you've got a career. Not when you're established. Not when you've got your first million in your bank account. No, the Lord says, go today.
Amen.
Today, people need to hear the gospel. Today, people need to repent of their sins. Today, we need to be about the Father's business. There's an urgency, Christian. Service leads to surrender. Serving God doesn't mean you and I just serving him the way which is comfortable, the way in which we want. No, serving God means serving him the way he wants. And when he wants, and that is now. Amen? That is now. Let me close by saying this. The second son who repented not represents unsaved Israel, religious Israel. But one day, there is coming a time when Israel will not live in unbelief. One day the Lord will come and take his church. He will take his people from this earth and he will once again deal with the nation of Israel. And they will do what? They will repent. They will put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And from what I read in the Word of God, we as his witnesses today will be put to shame by the witness of these once religious Jews that will turn to Christ and give evidence of their salvation. How? They will go. They will go to preach the gospel in a world that will say, if you talk about the name of Jesus, you will be instantly put to death. And they will die for their faith. What about you? What about you and I in this age of grace, this age of so-called peace and freedom? What are we doing for the gospel's sake? You see, the Lord says go today, because one day we can't go. We'll be gone. We can't go because we'll be gone. If you're a Christian, you'll be away to be with the Lord forever. And serving Him in the vineyard will be an opportunity that's gone. You see, this is a parable with a sting for the unsaved and for the saved. Let me ask you this morning, which group are you in? We've seen two groups as I close. There's the religious, then there's the repentant. There's the self-serving, there's the God-serving. There's the selfish, and then there's the surrendered. Which one are you? Now, none of us are perfect as Christians. You know, C.H. Spurgeon said this, even a sneeze will do. That's how much evidence we need for salvation. Even a sneeze will do. But a sneeze can be heard. It's evident. It's clear. Though it's something little, there's a change. If there's been no change, how can we claim to be a Christian? Friend, which group are you in? God has shown you something important this morning. Let me encourage you to make a decision before it's too late. Make a decision before He comes. Make a choice, either to be saved through repentance and faith in Christ, or to surrender wholeheartedly to serve Him in His vineyard. Paul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? That's it. That's surrender. Perhaps, Christian, you need to surrender today. And go to those other yards and be a witness in the workplace. Be a witness in your neighborhood. And be a witness among those you know. Work in His vineyard.